We actually celebrated our Christmas Eve, or our Christmas this morning with our kids. We had them open all their presents. Anybody else do that yet? No? Okay, well, you guys are terrible parents. That's what your kids would want you to know. But we've actually been, this is really cool. So we have been keeping a secret for about 3 months now with our kids. So we had told our kids that we're going to be celebrating Christmas, and it'll be really fun that Don's parents are going to be flying from Washington, D.C. to Northern California. We're going to rent a house in Reading. And so my oldest daughter, Alana, who many of you know, she has been planning like every event. Like she has everything we're going to be doing for the duration of the 10 days. She's a planner. Yeah, how many of you know that Alana's a planner? It's like crazy. She's like, all right, everybody wakes up at 6:30 a.m. Then we have breakfast. You get 15 minutes. Then we're dry. And it's like really crazy. Savannah, don't tell her I'm saying these things, okay? So anyway, we've been planning. So she's been planning on basically having our grandparents come and spending time together with the family. And Don's sister was going to come, but then Don's sister couldn't. And so they've been planning it all out. And all along, we've actually been keeping a secret from them. We're not going to be going up to Reading to rent a house and spend time as a family. And so what we did is we've been keeping the secret. And so this morning, they got to open all their presents. And then Don and I made this video. We made this video that we uploaded on YouTube that they could watch. And it was us letting them know that we're not going to Reading and that we're actually going to fly to Washington, D.C. tomorrow to spend time with grandparents and aunts and uncles and everything, too. It was awesome. They were like, and then tears start, and I was like, yes, and we got it all on film, so that will be viewed at some point in time. You're going to see it. It was great. So anyway, so we had a great Christmas morning, and then I had to come to church to see all of you, and I was looking forward to it. Hi, Chad. How you doing? Good. All right. So I would like to actually open us in prayer, and then we're going to spend a little bit of time just in Scripture and thinking a little bit more about the Christmas story. So let's pray together. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to gather. And we are here, and we're just excited, and we want to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we want to do it in a way that's glorifying to you. And I would ask that your Holy Spirit would help us to think about the Christmas story and what it means for our lives. And we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love, and your kingdom that's breaking into our world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're new here, what we've been doing for the last month is we've been actually in a sermon series called Caroling Through Christmas. And what we've been doing is we've been spending every Sunday looking at a popular Christmas carol and actually exploring it and learning about the background of that carol. And so we've kind of looked at popular carols. And the idea behind it was, if you watched VH1 has this TV show called Behind the Music. Anybody seen that show before? Right, yeah, and the whole premise of the show is to look behind certain songs and bands and get to like the background details about it. And we've been doing that about the Christmas carols. And so we sing Christmas carols every year. How many of you are actually at the point where you're done with Christmas carols? Because, yeah, one, Dan's like, no more. Anybody else? I was getting my hair cut the other day, and the lady who does my hair is like, she's like, I just can't wait, because we've been playing it in this store ever since the day after Thanksgiving. She's like, yeah, Nancy's a cheerleader, like, just stop. And they had a pool about how many times they've heard certain songs. It was like 78 times. And it was like, oh, man. So this will be the last time we do this in our Christmas season right now. But we've been doing this series, Caroling Through Christmas. And we started out by looking at the song Joy to the World. And we looked at the background to Joy to the World and who wrote it and how it came to be. And also see that Christmas is a time of joy. Hopefully you can see it in that way. And then we spent the next week, we looked at Silent Night. And we talked about the background of Silent Night and kind of the theology behind it. And then last week we talked about a song that was written from someone that none of us have ever heard of. But it was a song called Upside Down Christmas from an Asian person who wrote that song. And it kind of exposed us to the idea of how the kingdom of God is upside down. And a lot of the things that we think in our own eyes sometimes about the Christmas story might not seem so beautiful. An unwed young mother having, bearing the Lord is a pretty amazing story. And so we did that. And then this week, we're going to actually look at a Christmas carol that many of you may have heard many times, but it's a Christmas carol called Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And so the lyrics you can see right there, just two verses right there in the chorus. How many of you have heard this song? Just out of curiosity, okay? How many, here's a better question. How many of you have never heard this song? You've never heard this song? Well, your mother's going to do a solo right now for us to. Nope. That's how you grow a church right there, folks, okay? Write that down. Anyway, So Hark the Herald Angels Sing is a really popular song. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild, God and Sinner Reconciled. It's something that many of you probably heard. And so this song is a pretty beautiful song. In fact, I think it's one of the clearest Christmas carols about the Christmas message. In fact, as I've read it over and over again, I think it's really beautiful. It's something that we probably should sing, not just in December. What I want to do is I want to go and look at the background of the song. So the Hark the Herald Angels Sing was written by a man named Charles Wesley. And Charles Wesley, some of you may recognize the name Wesley. Charles Wesley was the brother to John Wesley. John Wesley and Charles Wesley were the folks who started the Methodist movement. So anybody in the room have a Methodist background at all? All right, one, nobody else? No one else. Okay, well, we still love Methodists. There's two, all right. So the Methodists were amazing church planters. This is really cool. In the 1700s and 1800s, the Methodists basically planted churches all across the United States. I mean, they were one of the first major church planting movements in our country, even before our country existed as a country. But Charles Wesley wrote the song, and so he also wrote over 6,000 hymns. So a couple hymns that some of you who maybe have church backgrounds might recognize is Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, which we sing a lot on Easter's, and then Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. So Wesley wrote a ton of songs. In fact, I think there's over 350 Charles Wesley hymns in the Methodist hymn book. This is what's interesting, though. The opening line to this song was a train wreck originally. Okay, it used to be, Hark how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings. Now, I didn't know what welkin means. Anybody know what welkin means? When I first saw that, I was like, that must be French. It's not. It's actually Old English, and it means clouds or heavens. And so this song was written by Charles Wesley. Now, I want to actually have you notice a couple things, and then we're going to springboard into reading a passage of Scripture. But did you notice how peace is a significant theme throughout this song, right? On the first verse, it's peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. And then verse 3, the actual opening lines are, Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. And I'm assuming that you're here this morning because you're here to celebrate the birth of the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. And so that's what I want to do, is actually talk a little bit more about this theme of peace, because there's some really beautiful things that I think we can actually see inside of the Christmas story. And the first is this: the Christmas story gives us pictures of peace. In fact, as you study through the Gospels and you read the stories of Jesus, you see many different pictures of peace, but I want to focus on one this morning that I think would be helpful for us to think about for a few minutes here. And so before we do that, we're actually going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, and this is a passage where we actually read the Christmas story. And so I'm going to read it now. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who is now obviously pregnant. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. I think one of the coolest pictures of peace actually in this passage of scripture, if we're staring at it and we're asking questions about what we can learn from about God's kingdom, I think one of the coolest pictures of peace in this passage is actually the fact that the angels announce the message of Jesus to the shepherds. And shepherds are often really overlooked and missed in this story. In fact, we just kind of read it and we think, oh, that's really cool. There's these shepherds out there, and then the angels sing, and then the shepherds come, and then we kind of miss actually the beauty of this passage. But there's something we need to learn about this, and it's this: there's peace amongst the shepherds. And one of the things that I think maybe might be helpful for us to realize is that the shepherds weren't like the most looked up to members of society in the first century when this happened. In fact, shepherds, though they were part of the earliest role in society, like if you go back and study ancient history, you'll see that shepherds have almost always existed because that was a job that everybody kind of needed, so to speak. And so there's always been shepherds. And so it was at one time a respectable job. If you're someone who grew up in the church and you've read scripture a lot, you might have heard of a man named David. King David is one of the greatest kings of Israel. In fact, God loved David so much that he said that, hey, it's from your ancestry, your lineage, that Jesus would come. And so David has this really prominent role, and he wrote tons of psalms, and he was a great shepherd, though, before he was king. And so at one time, shepherds were a very respectable job. But by the first century, that had decreased because the more that the social class continued, it became part of the poor, the working poor, and were often marginalized. And so by the first century, when Jesus was born, when this is written, this is what's really interesting, is that shepherds were not dignified, and they were the epitome of people who were marginalized, overlooked, and had a ton of poverty. And so shepherds were paid very little, and society generally thought shepherds were a bunch of fools, okay? And so that's why this is a pretty interesting part of the story. And in fact, I want to just read, this is from a rabbinic source. So during the first century, the popular opinion about shepherds is emphasized here. And this is a quote: most of the time, shepherds were dishonest and thieving. They led their herds onto other people's land and pilfered the produce of the land. There is no more disreputable occupation than that of a shepherd. And that was the common assumption during the first century. And so along comes angels announcing the birth of Jesus to shepherds, right? It's a really beautiful part of the story. So what God's doing here is he's making sure that the reality of Jesus' birth is actually known by all. And so, in fact, in the passage of scripture we read, the angels say to the shepherds, they say, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today. And so think about the Christmas story. Now, if you've studied the Christmas story and you've been following the Bible, we actually have these folks called Magi. Anybody know who Magi are in the story? The wise men, right? They come from the east, but they actually don't come at the birth of Jesus. They actually come later when Jesus is a little bit older. But in all of our popular Christmas carols, We Three Kings, et cetera, et cetera. But this is what's really cool. If you think about the shepherds in comparison to the Magi, we have a really beautiful picture for us, a picture of peace. The shepherds represent the low end of society, and the Magi represent the high. And so all this is to say is this, is God's kingdom is trying to bring joy to all people. All people. And so the peace that we have in the Christmas story is that God actually loves everybody regardless of where they are at in society. Can I get an amen to that? It's like pretty awesome, right? In fact, there's even more beauty as we stare at the Christmas story. If we look a little bit closer, we can see a little bit more beauty in the Christmas story. And it's this. When I think about the Christmas story and the implications of Jesus' life and all that he's going to go on to accomplish after his birth, when he dies on the cross, etc., it's this: the child of peace destroys cosmic conflict. The child of peace destroys cosmic conflict. I think the Bible's actually pretty clear when you spend time reading it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And I think this is a fair statement to say that our world has actually been seized by hostile and evil forces who are seeking to destroy God's good intentions for our planet. Like, I think that's a fair assessment. And so if you remember the old Saturday Night Live skit, it could be Satan, right? Like, the evil forces are at work trying to destroy all of God's intentions for our creation. And so Many theologians, in fact, if you read a lot of theology, which I know all of you do, because right next to your nightstand is just stacks of theologian writings, because you know what makes me happy to hear. But if you do that, what you find out is that all of these theologians are constantly reminding us that God wages war against the forces of evil through Jesus. Right? Like, that's just reemphasized all the time. And if you read the Bible, you see it over and over again, is that our world has become hostile to the forces of evil, and that God's way of actually confronting those forces of evil is through Jesus Christ. And that's partly why we gather together and to encourage each other and to read those stories over and over again. But listen to this. The question is, how does God bring an end to the cosmic chaos, the cosmic conflict? If your name is Jesus, you become a child. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful in the story is that everything about the Christmas story shows us that God's kingdom is upside down. The way that God wages war against the conflict and the problems and challenges of our society is that he enters into our world and becomes a baby. I mean, it's absolutely mind-blowing if you stop and think about the reality that God himself was born a child. It's like, oh my gosh. And so we're here this morning and we obviously are thinking through the Christmas story, and we're talking about these beautiful pictures that we have throughout the scriptures about peace and all the beautiful things that go along with the Christmas story, love, joy, hope, all those things. But I would just like to encourage us with this reality this morning. For a minute here, just think about this. Christmas itself, the Christmas story, the nativity, the birth of Jesus actually displays the power of God's peace. It displays the power of God's peace. And in our world right now, I don't know how many armed conflicts are going on, but would we all agree that we could have more peace? Right? Like, and the Christmas story points to that. It points to the kind of peace that God actually brings. And so if I'm going to summarize this Hark the Herald Angels Sing and thinking about this theme of peace, I'm going to say it this way. The way that God brings peace to our earth and defeats the powers of darkness is not with a sword, but with a child. It's not with a sword, but with a child. And it's one of the most beautiful pictures I think we can see in all of the Bible. And so I'd like to do this. If you would be comfortable with just standing with me right now, I'd love to pray. And I just want to ask that God would obviously give each and every one of you peace this morning. I assume that you're going to go and hopefully be with family, or you're going to be celebrating Christmas in some way. Family, friends, etc. And I just have found this to be a very strong truth, is that when you're with family, you need lots of God's peace. Right? Especially when you're seeing them once a year. God bless them. So I'd love to pray for all of us this morning. So if you wouldn't mind bowing your heads and closing your eyes, if you feel comfortable doing that, I'd love to pray. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your beauty. We thank you for, more than anything, your son, Jesus. And so I just would ask, Holy Spirit, for you to come right now and to help us as a community of people to, for a moment here, to just reflect and think on the beauty of the peace that comes through Jesus. And so, Lord, for anybody in this room that maybe is not experiencing that peace or has yet to experience that peace or is going through turmoil and many challenges and conflicts right now, I just pray that you, the God of all peace, would come right now and would bring peace where peace is needed. And I pray that for just us as a community, of individuals who are collectively gathered right now. I pray that, Lord, as we go from this space and into the space around us, that you would be with us and that you would help us to bring peace where we go. And Lord, in the same way that we read how the angels suddenly responded to the message of Jesus, I pray that everybody in this room, myself and anybody else, God, that we would continue to suddenly respond to the message of Jesus, and that every invitation that we have before us to be able to enter into your rest and to press into your kingdom would be met by your presence. We love you and we thank you for all that you've done for us.
We pray this in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Amen.